This is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Maiken Scott. Some people who desperately need a fresh start can do nothing but wait. Wait and hope to stay alive. 15,000 people in the U.S. are waiting for liver transplants, and how long they'll be waiting depends on where in the country they are living. So some patients relocate, hoping for better chances. Karen Chakurji followed one young man as he left Boston in search of a new liver.
When I first met Seth Doraswamy last summer, he was holed up in his parents' house in Belmont, a suburb just outside of Boston. He had puffy cheeks, wide eyes, and shuffled around slowly in a big gray hoodie. This is the other room. We walked toward the dining room, past framed photographs of Seth, his siblings, and their kids. White lacy curtains covered the windows, and two fluffy dogs bounced around. We sat down, and he told me about his life in Italy.
Before all of this happened, I was considered a builder and a stonemason.
He had been living in Genoa for the past 5 years, close to his wife's family, building homes.
Then this is one of the projects we were working on before I left. Lots of stone walls and cement mixers.
But while he showed me these photos of his physically demanding job, he struggled just to sit up straight.
Bricks in between each one of them.
Seth was born with a liver disease called biliary atresia. It basically means the liver is not filtering bile the way it's supposed to. At 11 weeks old, he had a risky procedure done that saved his life. For years, he took antibiotic after antibiotic to prevent infections. But in December of 2014, at 32 years old, the disease caught up with him again.
We were working on a big house. I was working with a lot of guys. One of them one day just said, "You know, your eyes are really yellow."
He was hospitalized for a couple weeks, and in January of 2015, he came back to Boston to be near his longtime doctor at Mass General Hospital. But Massachusetts, it turns out, is not the best place to be if you need a new liver.
When my doctor said, "We may think about sending you out to Indiana," I was kind of shocked.
Getting on a list in another state is not so simple. Entering the world of medical tourism meant leaving his doctor at Mass General Hospital, meeting a whole new team, going through extensive tests, and all the while dealing with an obscene amount of paperwork. He did go out to Indiana for 2 weeks in June, but it didn't work out, and he returned to Boston still needing a liver. I asked him to keep an audio diary if he traveled elsewhere, and he said sure. He thought Wisconsin might be next. But on August 17th, I got an update.
I had to postpone my appointment in Wisconsin, cancel my reservations for the flights. Then all of a sudden, I found myself booking flights for Florida, finding a place to stay in Jacksonville.
An appointment opened up at the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, and he bought a one-way ticket.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
I have an appointment with Adam.
If you're wondering what's in Florida that's not in Massachusetts, the answer is it's complicated. Since doctors started transplanting organs successfully back in the 50s, geography has played a key role. Organs are time-sensitive. The average liver lasts about 6 hours after being procured from a donor. The closer the match, the better. In the 80s, the National Transplant Organization, called UNOS, divided the country into 11 regions. Then, in 2002, they implemented something called a MELD score, just for livers. It rates how sick a patient is. Today, a combination of your MELD score and location determines your place in line. The idea is to get the sickest patients transplanted first, but because some regions average transplants at lower scores, meaning you don't have to be as sick, people who can leave home to get on lists elsewhere.
And it's really tragic because the organs should be able to go to the patients wherever they live and not make the patients relocate.
David Mulligan is the chief of transplantation and immunology at Yale New Haven Hospital in Connecticut. For the past couple of years, he's been working on a proposal with UNOS to divide the country into fewer regions.
And the idea is that it's not really fair for people to have to suffer and actually die compared to someone who may live a few states away and can get an organ much more easily.
Generally, centers in the Southeast and the Midwest transplant patients with lower scores than ones in the Northeast or along the West Coast. Researchers disagree about why this is the case and what to do about it. Reasons seem to shift depending on who you talk to. It's a tricky combination of factors that include average lifespan, organ donor rates, and healthcare access in each region. And because relocating is costly, Mulligan says, the current system leaves people who can't afford to move at a disadvantage.
We're all not available to have private jet waiting on standby to take us to whichever transplant center calls us the first to say, we've got a liver, come on out and have your transplant.
The point of the redistricting plan is to get patients transplanted around the same score everywhere. Regions would morph in shape and size to include more states. It would mean more sharing between states and more livers being flown around.
We're in a desperate situation in California. We're desperate.
Catherine Frenette is the medical director of liver transplantation at Scripps Green Hospital in San Diego, California.
I know the middle of the country is fighting hard against redistricting because they don't want to give up their livers. They're in their thoughts, well, everything's fine. We're transplanting people. We're getting livers when we need them. Why are we going to change it? Why should we ship our livers to California?
Some surgeons say redistricting will only change which patients die because there are only so many livers to go around. Some will have to wait longer. John Hundley is a transplant surgeon at Piedmont Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia.
I can say this without any shadow of a doubt. This redistricting, it would cause more Georgians to die and fewer New Yorkers to die. That's what would happen. I mean, there'd still be just as many deaths.
Hundley also admits, as many have, that everyone wants what's best for their patients. Whether redistricting is the answer or not, the current system entices patients to relocate. Patients like Seth Doraswamy.
I'm taking a lot of blood today.
After being in Florida for 2 weeks, the clinic agreed to put him on the wait list. He just needed to get approval from his insurance.
We heard back that they would cover my transplant here, which is a huge relief, so now it's just the waiting game. They just said, keep your phone charged, on loud as it can be, have a little backpack ready.
Then, a few weeks later, he got deathly ill. His MELD score shot up to 40, the highest it can be, and he went into the ICU.
Maybe close to around midnight, I heard a doctor come into the room, start talking to one of my nurses. He came over and just out of the blue announced to me, we may have a liver this evening. Being in the hospital already, I was just lying in bed and just started thinking inside my head, you know, maybe this is it.
On September 24th, around 3 o'clock in the morning, anesthesiologists came in to ready him for the surgery. When Seth came to, he was covered in tubes and wires and in a lot of pain. But even with the pain, he noticed positive changes almost immediately.
When I went to the bathroom after surgery, I almost wanted to cry because since I was a little boy, I only saw dark urine. And so when I saw clear urine, I jumped out of the bathroom like a 2-year-old boy and announced to my wife that I just peed normally for the first time in decades.
A couple months later, when I visit him in Boston, Seth looks like a different person. Gone are the puffy cheeks and the yellow eyes. He's laughing easily and tossing a ball around with Benji.
Baba, Yuti.
The amount of people traveling for liver transplants like Seth is unclear, but research shows travelers are 74% more likely to get a transplant than similar patients who stay put.
If I hadn't done that, then who knows what my fate would have been up here.
Where do you want me to go?
There's no way of knowing, of course, but one thing is clear. He's never been more excited about the future. For The Pulse, I'm Karen Chakurji.